Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the Sada Energy and Minerals Limited Q1 FY23 earnings conference call. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touchtone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Pankaj Sarda, Joint Managing Director of Sada Energy and Minerals Limited. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you, dear moderator. Good afternoon, everyone. I extend a very warm welcome to all of you to the Q1 FY23 earnings call of Sada Energy and Minerals Limited. Our press release and investor presentation containing details of performance has been uploaded. Today's discussions may include forward-looking statements which must be considered in conjunction with the risks that industry in general and our business in particular face, and actual results may vary materially. Global economies are facing macro headwinds on account of challenges posed by high inflation, rising interest rates, Russian-Ukraine war, and resurgence of COVID. The export duties imposed with effect of 22nd May 2022 has changed the whole demand-supply dynamics of steel industry and resulted into sharp correction in the prices of both iron inputs and finished steel. With the fall in the domestic steel prices, the same is expected to be rationalized soon. However, price of coal remains at an elevated level due to supply concerns. Due to higher fuel costs, grid power prices have also been increased by most of the state utilities. This has reduced profit margins in steel and ferroalloy manufacturing. However, we are less affected because we are not exporting any steel product. Secondly, we are captively consuming about 35%-40% of the iron ore pellet. Thirdly, with the captive coal, our fuel cost is lower and stable. Fourthly, the company procures majority of its iron ore requirement from markets where prices have corrected. This is also providing cushion against falling prices of steel. Fifthly, our foreign exposure of imports is hedged by exports. Prices of ferroalloys also corrected on oversupply concerns. Price of manganese ore is also correcting globally. However, margins are expected to shrink as compared to last few quarters. We exported 26,300 metric tons of ferroalloys valued about 388 crores against 17,100 metric tons in Q1 FY22, valued at 158 crores, and 26,300 metric tons in Q4 FY22, valued at rupees 300 crores. The company has achieved the highest ever quarterly production of iron pellet and captive thermal power. The overall performance of manufacturing facilities has been stable and in line with the last quarter. The 113 MW Sikkim hydropower project built 132 million units at generation bus level. The plant achieved PLF of 58% in this quarter. However, due to delay in arrival of monsoon and scattered rains, the Gulu hydropower plant in Chhattisgarh generated only 3.57 million units against 13.57 million units in corresponding quarter of the previous year. The Uttarakhand project generated 4.04 million units against 4.25 million units in Q1 FY22. Ongoing projects. The government has approved mining plans of the company for mining of Shahpur West coal mine in Madhya Pradesh and for increase in the mining capacity of Gare Palma mine from 1.2 million ton to 1.8 million ton. The process of environmental clearance is going on. Work on the ferroalloys expansion project at Vizag is progressing ahead of schedule, and we expect to start the third furnace in the next quarter against scheduled commissioning of March 2023. Construction work at 25 MW Rihar hydropower project is progressing as per schedule. We expect to complete the project before end of FY24-25. Mr. P.K. Jainji will brief about financial performance and position of the company.
Thanks, Pankaj. The company has achieved quarterly consolidated revenue of 1,261 crores
during quarter 1 FY23, registering a growth of 19% quarter on quarter and 52% year on year. The company has reported operating EBITDA of rupees 364 crores during the quarter against 351 crores in previous quarter and an operating EBITDA of rupees 260 crores in quarter 1 of previous year. The company's profit after tax at the consolidated level stood at rupees 173 crores as against 207 crores in the previous quarter and rupees 168 crores in quarter 1 of the previous year. The company is supplying hydropower to CSPDCL under cost plus regulated tariff. The cost of transmission of power from Sikkim to Chhattisgarh was paid by CSPDCL to the transmission utility. Recently, we have received a demand from CSPDCL for payment of transmission charges in terms of PPA. We shall take up the matter with the regulatory commission in the course of approval of the final tariff. The same was not considered in the provisional tariff as a cost. However, as a prudence, we have provided for the transmission charges as an expense in our results. The transmission cost relating to the previous year shall be adjusted against the retained earnings as per provisions of the applicable Indian accounting standards. The company had bought back 811,108 equity shares at the rate of 1500 per share, which has been completed, and the funds remitted on 27 June 2022. The acceptance ratio was about 41% in case of retail category and about 2.8% in case of general category. Debt. At the standalone level, the company is net debt free with surplus funds. As on 30th June 2022, gross debt stood at about rupees 1400 crores. Bank balance and liquid investments as on 30th June stood at about rupees 700 crores. The total debt net of the cash and current investments stood about rupees 700 crores and the net of loans given as a part of treasury operations is below 400 crores. Loans repayable within next 1 year is 151 crores. Ongoing capex. Pardon? Ongoing capexes, including coal mines, have been financed from the internal accruals. Long-term external rating of the company has been upgraded from CRISIL A plus to CRISIL AA minus with stable outlook. The company's short-term rating has been upgraded from A1 to highest level of A1 plus. The long-term external credit rating of Sarda Metals was upgraded by 2 notches from CRISIL BBB plus to CRISIL A. The short-term rating has also been upgraded from A2 to A1. With this, the rating of all subsidiaries of the company stands upgraded to A category. This is a reflection of healthy financials and strong business fundamentals of the company and its subsidiaries. I now request Sri Manish Sarda to brief about the steel and ferroalloy industry scenario and performance.
Thank you, Mr. Jain. The imposition of export duty has adversely affected India's steel production and exports. In quarter 1 of 23, India produced 31 million metric tons of steel, recording degrowth of 3% quarter on quarter. However, year on year, India recorded growth of 9.54% on account of COVID-affected low base of 28.3 million tons. China's crude steel production increased by 16.47% quarter on quarter and reduced by 0.8 year on year to 283.5 million tons. Global steel production recorded growth of 8% quarter on quarter to 493 million tons but fell year on year by 3.4%. India exported 2.88 million tons steel against 3.89 million tons in previous quarter, constituting 9.3% of production. The domestic consumption fell from 29 million tons to 27.35 million tons quarter on quarter. India continues to be the second largest producer of steel with 6.3% share in the global steel production. Japan, with third ranking, is far behind us. Energy and logistic prices, which constitute a substantial portion of cost of production and distribution of steel, is at elevated levels. As such, prices of finished steel may not go down substantially. Having our own coal mine, we are insulated from a large extent from increase in energy costs. The prices of steel products have moved up, backed by demand from consuming sectors who had postponed buying in falling market. Steel demand in India is expected to improve in second half of 23, with the end of monsoon driven by increase in government spending, revival in construction activities, and auto sector revival, and that should push up the Indian steel prices. China steel demand is likely to find support as COVID restrictions ease and pave way for pent-up demand. China is not buying coking coal from Australia. That has kept their cost structure at elevated level. Coke, coal and energy prices may remain range-bound and volatile, and that may keep the steel prices at an elevated level. Iron ore and pellet prices may remain subdued due to surplus domestic supply and heavy export duties. Ferroalloys prices may also remain subdued due to oversupply on account of fall in global steel production and capacity additions. This is all about the performance and outlook, and now we leave the forum open for questions from the participants. Thank you very much.
Thank you. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to withdraw yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. We have a first question from the line of Shubham Agarwal from Equitas. Please go ahead.
Good evening and thank you for the opportunity. First of all, I would like to congratulate the team on a very great set of numbers. So my first question was relating to the coal division. Last quarter, we did a sales of around 2,23,000. So, and before that, almost 2 lakh ton. So can we take a run rate of 2 lakh ton going forward of external sale of coal? And also, if you could help us with the total revenue and profitability at EBITDA level that we generated because of this thing.
Yeah, good afternoon. So far as this sales of the coal is concerned, about 50% of our present capacity of 1.2 million is captively consumed. Rest only will be available for sale. So the sales will be somewhere in the range of 1.25 lakh tons per quarter to 1.5 lakhs at the max.
Okay.
Will be the. If we get the permission for increased capacity, then the sale may increase.
Got it. And for the last quarter, sir, what would be our total sales from coal?
Coal sales. I'll just... it was 2,02,000 tons.
Yeah, no, in terms of total value and EBITDA, I'm asking.
We will provide this separately. We have not calculated separately because this is considered majorly for our captive requirements. So EBITDA is forming part of our steel division, but we will share with offline.
Okay, no worries. Now, secondly, coming to the pellet part of the business. So obviously, since notification, we have observed a significant decline in pellet prices. Sir, I would like to know the current on-ground realities. Do we see further declining prices of pellet going forward? And also, if you can help us understand if there is any challenges in terms of selling the total quantities of pellet going forward.
Manish Tardaji.
So let me answer this. You know, we have a pellet capacity of 8 lakh tons installed, right? And we are mostly utilizing our own pellets for our captive consumption. So we have very less quantity to sell in the market. And you might have seen that in the recent past that the pellet prices went down with the duties being imposed. And there was a sudden rebound in terms of the pricing of pellets also. So pellet prices have moved back an inch up. And I don't see that the pellet prices will be moving down, you know, in the near future as coal prices, you know, and energy costs are going up across all the producing states. Right. So we personally, as a company, we don't see too much of a trouble in terms of selling our pellets because we have a very limited quantity to sell in the open market.
fair and enough. Overall, and, yeah.
And overall, I don't see that the pricing will go down because there's a huge amount of cost pressure from the energy side.
Understood. Sir, so for us, what would be the current cost of production of pellet given the current low price of iron ore, and obviously we have our captive coal?
Jain sir, could you answer that question, please?
Pardon?
The price.
What is the current cost of pellet?
Current cost of
with our captive coal.
Our captive coal and a mix of the captive, this iron ore fines. This will be somewhere in the range of, I think, 6,500 to 7,000.
6,500 is our, okay, understood. Understood. Okay. Secondly, sir, on the ferroalloy part of the business, again, my question would be on the similar lines. We saw a significant decline in the last 2 months as far as realization of ferroalloys is concerned. Obviously, we export most of it, but how do you see the market evolving from here on? Or is there a stable price that you, based on the current demand and supply scenario, that you see the ferroalloy division coming back to?
So if you look at the market pricing, definitely has gone down for ferroalloys. But to be very honest, the market is very fluid right now because the Ukraine-Russia war, as anticipated, has carried on for a way much longer period of time. So there are a couple of scenarios now. Europe is facing a huge amount of electricity crisis, gas crisis, and oil crisis. There, the steel production, we have seen sharp declines. And the demand for ferroalloys is not as strong in Europe as we used to normally witness. What we are seeing is also that there are issues in terms of production, in terms of the ferroalloys which are situated in Western Europe and Eastern Europe. And we'll have to just wait and watch because some of the plants we have heard have closed down, like OFZ in Slovakia has completely shut down operations, which was running at around 55%. So what we are seeing is right now a flux situation, but I think the prices will go back and elevate up further because production centers will be hampered in a major way because of electricity crisis in Western and Eastern Europe. Ukraine also may face some issues with Russia going forward, and like we've seen in the past that there were disruptions in the steel plant and one of the steel plants had to completely shut down because of the war situation there. One of the largest producers of ferroalloys in the world is situated in Ukraine. And if there are disruptions there in terms of logistics and in terms of operations and production, we might see a sudden spurt in pricing of ferroalloys as well. So here and all, we personally feel that the markets have stabilized right now. And manganese ore prices have also reduced a bit. So the margins will still be there. The only cost pressure which is right now for the entire steel DNA industry, you know, as to say, is the cost of energy, the coal cost. We are quite insulated from that also because we have our own coal mines and we have gotten, you know, expansion permission. So we are just trying to ramp up our coal production and trying to see what maximum utilization we can do from our own captive coal.
Okay. And so our expansion also is scheduled to come by next quarter, right?
Yeah.
Okay, got it. And finally, on the hydro division, so there was few news feeds which suggested that northeast, the total rainfall is very low in the month of July. So in our catchment area, are we observing the same thing or it's normal for us?
Yes, we are observing a similar trend in our catchment area as well.
Similar as in normal situation?
Yeah.
Okay, got it.
As the news feed you have got, even in our catchment area, it's showing that the rains in this last 15-20 days, there has been a little shortfall. But let's see how it goes from here.
Understood. Understood. Fair enough. So that's it from my side. I'll come back in the queue. Thank you.
Thank you. A reminder to participants to press star and one to ask a question. Participants are requested to press star and one on their phone to ask a question. We have our next question from the line of Rakesh Shah, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Thank you. So I just had a couple of basic questions about the coal mines. So what is the coal requirement and quantity at the Raipur plant and at the Vizag plant?
So both together, as mentioned, around 0.6 to 0.7 million tons.
Okay. Okay. So how was the coal requirement met before the Gare-Palma plant?
So we were importing a lot also from abroad, from South Africa and from Indonesia. So because the prices there have escalated so much at the moment, so we are utilizing our own captive coal from our coal mines.
Okay, thank you.
And substituted that part through our own coal.
Mr. Shah, we have a 1.8 million tons capacity utilization for our coal mines in the current situation, and we also have our own washery. So what we are trying to do is maximizing our captive consumption so that we are insulated from price shocks of the imported as well as market-driven coal pricing.
Okay, thank you. So the next question is the Shahpur coal mine, which is there, from that we will be selling all of the coal extracted to the outside market?
So Shahpur, no, Shahpur coal mine, it's an underground coal mine, and the grade of coal there is very, very good. So that time, we can bring it to for captive use as well, or if the price is there, if we fetch a better price, so we can sell it across also from Madhya Pradesh itself. So it'll depend on the coal pricing, et cetera, during that time.
Okay, that's it from my side. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
We have our next question from the line of Vikas Singh from PhillipCapital. Please go ahead.
Good afternoon, sir, and thank you for taking my question. Sir, I want to understand that in industry level, there was a lot of talk about capacity has been cut. So could you give us some idea about in terms of secondary players or the smaller players like yourself, what kind of capacity has been taken off from the market recently?
Manish Sarda.
Frankly, I have no idea of capacities being taken off from the market in the secondary steel. In fact, it's a news to me because temporary shutdowns here and there do happen in the industry. But to say that capacities have been withdrawn from the market is a little unheard for me in the current situation. Definitely during
What I was talking about, sir, basically the temporary shutdowns, basically. So during, let's say, next 2 to 3 months, what kind of the capacity rebalancing in terms of temporary shutdowns has happened? I understand that.
No, I have no idea, and I have not heard, apart from temporary shutdowns, that any capacity has been taken off from the market. If it's a company which has gone into NCLT or something, that's a separate issue. But otherwise, I don't think so. There was a bit of a shock in terms of the duties being imposed by the government, in a very sudden manner. But that time there was a little bit of a shake-up. But I think everything is now normalized and people have taken cognizance of the fact of the duties and have started reworking. We've seen the iron ore pricing falling and the margins being constant, or let's say the margins being in place. I have not heard specifically about major shutdowns being taken or major, capacities moving out of the industry.
Understood, sir. Sir, in terms of our cost of production, right, the steel as well as ferro alloy division, what kind of the cost escalation we are building in for the 3Q or 2Q and 3Q, basically, if we have some visibility up to next 6 months?
No, there won't be any material cost escalation. So far as fuel is concerned, as we told, most of that is already covered by our captive coal mines, although quality is a little inferior, but we are using after washing that coal. So it won't materially affect, and so far as cost is, if it goes to the manganese ore, there also prices are falling now. And in case of iron ore also, so far two price corrections have been made by even by NMDC, and other private players have also reduced the prices. Yes, now depends how the market moves.
No, in fact, just to add on to that, even coke prices have fallen from 42 levels, from 42,000 levels. The coke prices have also come down, and I personally believe that relatively the imported coal RB3 and RB2 pricing has also more or less stabilized, and it will more or less may come down only now. It will not go up further. So I think the cost pressure in terms of going forward for Q2 and Q3, I don't think so there will be a visible cost escalation from our perspective. I don't think so there will be a cost escalation at all. In fact, the cost should be going down.
So, sir, just small clarification.
Mr. Singh, I believe that... I'm sorry to interrupt. Can you speak a bit louder, please? Your volume is little...
Is it better?
Yes.
Is it better?
Yes, go ahead.
So, just small clarification. I believe for sponge iron production, we largely import coal, which is of high grade and not completely replaceable by the domestic sources. So, just wanted to understand, are you saying that even on that side, we are not going to have any escalation? Or we are having some older inventory which is of low cost? So, if you could just elaborate.
Yeah, most of our sponge iron coal requirement also we are meeting out of our captive coal, although that is affecting our production capacity. If you see, our sponge iron production has gone down mainly on account of use of the lower grade of coal. So, yes, very small quantity we might be using, but mostly it will be meeting from our own coal, although that is of inferior quality.
Understood. So, just one last question on our debt level. So, it has been constantly coming down. I remember in our past conference, we say never gave the guidance of this kind of debt reduction. So, going forward, are we picking a slow route because this dynamic has changed in the steel industry and there would be less capex and effectively our debt would continue to reduce, or this is a short-term phenomena? Just if you can just elaborate on this.
No, as already stated, we are trying to prepay certain loans. In addition to that, whatever capexes are being incurred, those are made out of our cash accrual. Otherwise, steadily the loans are going down.
So, what kind of debt level we are actually targeting by end of this year, if I may ask?
By given schedule, it will be down, so far as the long-term debts are concerned, it will be down by 150 crores. If you consider, so far as long-term loans are concerned, and short-term borrowings are very, very minimal. So, in addition to that, whatever we could negotiate, and otherwise, most of that may be planned for the future growth capital.
So, this is over and above what we have in 1-2 levels, right?
Yeah.
Thank you. That's all for myself. Thank you for taking my questions and all the best.
Thank you. Participants are requested to press star and 1 to ask a question. We have our next question from the line of Aman Madrecha from Augmenta Research Private Limited. Please go ahead.
Hello, sir, and thanks for the opportunity. Sir, I just wanted to ask, how is the situation on ground given that there is an export duty on pellets. So, I guess the market, according to one of the peers' call, so the market has around 25 million tons of pellets. And so, are we finding it difficult to sell pellets? I believe that we can use pellets actively and share more towards the sponge iron thing. But how has been the on-ground situation when we are taking orders for domestic pellets given the situation of an oversupply?
Manish Sarda ji,
I couldn't hear you clearly, but your question is basically that there is a overcapacity of pellets in the market right now, since there is a export duty on the pellets. Is that right?
And how it will affect us?
Yeah. So let me tell you. We, as I've previously mentioned, we have an installed capacity of 800,000 tons of pellet. And we captively utilize our own pellets for our own consumption, as we have downstreams up till HB wire. So we have our own sponge production, we have our own induction melting furnaces, we have our own rolling mill. And we are barely left out with a very small tonnage to sell out in the market. And we have a huge market in and around us itself in Chhattisgarh area. And we never see a possibility in terms of, you know, selling our pellets short. So we don't see too much of a problem in selling our pellets, as we do not have too much of tonnages to sell in the market.
Okay, sir. Thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, to ask a question, you're requested to press star and one on your phone now. Please press star and one to ask a question. We have our next question from the line of Chetan Shah from Jeet Capital. Please go ahead. One moment, please. We'll check his connection. Meanwhile, okay, Mr. Shah. Mr. Chetan Shah?
Yes, ma'am. Can you hear me?
Yes, yes, we can. Please go ahead.
Yeah. Sorry. If my question is just repeated, apologies for the same. Ma'am, just wanted to understand the thing on a ferroalloy side. If you can give us some sense on how the market looks. I understand on the export side you nicely alluded that, but if you can give us some flavor on the domestic side of the market. I'm not trying to understand for next couple of quarters, but if I want to understand next 2 years or 3 years, how does the demand supply situation looks like?
For next 2-3 years?
Yeah, so I'm just trying to understand in context to our capacity expansion and other things which we are doing. How do you see the demand supply of parallels in the country?
See, it's very difficult for me to predict the next 2-3 years because it will be a long shot to give that kind of prediction for next 3 years or 2 years. But overall, I can tell you that, the market is quite cyclical, as you all know. The ferroalloys industry is cyclical as the commodity it is. And I think that India is on the growth pattern, the way we are moving forward with the capital being infused in infrastructure. I'm sure that steel industry has also been growing and the steel production will continue to grow in India. Plus, one has to realize that with the current crisis in the European sector, whether it is Eastern Europe, Western Europe, they are all, you know, are having a very high cost of production. And these production centers of steel will not be viable, and neither will the ferroalloys production centers in the world will be viable when we look at the cost pressures that they are facing right now with the Russia-Ukraine war. And some of these plants, as I already mentioned, like one of the plants, which is a large plant called OSZ Ferroalloys in Slovakia, has already shut down. You know, India has been, with all its pluses and minuses, been the largest seaborne exporter of ferroalloys, specifically silicomanganese. We are the number one in the world. And for ferromanganese, we are ranked around 8th in the world. And for ferrosilicon, for ferrochrome, we are ranked around number 3 in the world or number 4th in the world. But largely, India is a dominant producer of silicomanganese. And I presume that, you know, going forward also, India will be one of the largest exporters of silicomanganese to the world markets, as we are seeing high cost of, power even in Korea, even in Japan, and these production centers are practically fusing out. Like in Japan, there were 4 plants, but now there is only 1 plant remaining. So all in all, I see that within the domestic side, the story of India is on a very good growth trajectory. We are looking at increased production of steel going forward in a few years. As far as world markets are concerned, we are still the cheapest and the best producer in terms of silicomanganese. Other centers are getting disrupted, so we have a good potential to grow there as well. So the demand overall for ferroalloys domestically as well as globally would remain strong for India, barring few incidences like the Russia-Ukraine war where the steel production has dropped down, etc., but also the ferroalloy production has dropped down. Hopefully, we are also looking forward to the import duty or the, you know, the anti-dumping duty which has been levied by America for the last so many years to come under the sunset clause and get into a review petition. And there is a 24% duty structure for silicomanganese imports into the U.S. But ferromanganese imports are duty-free. We have seen some ferromanganese exports happening in the last 1.5 years to the U.S. And hopefully in the coming year or two, we might see a removal of silicomanganese import duty. And we might see that market opening up as well for India. All in all, I personally feel that the growth for steel production in India will continuously grow because of the infrastructure-driven steel consumption in this country. And along with that, the ferroalloys will also move up and the demand supply should balance out automatically. In fact, the demand would be robust for ferroalloys. That's what I take.
Thanks for such a detailed and elaborate answer, sir. One last question from my side, sir. If you can, you know, the kind of cash flow which we are generating post our hydro project came on stream and ferro internal expansion and the one ongoing expansion which got done with, could you just tell us that how this cash flow we wanted to utilize, because now our balance sheet is reasonably lean and mean and we don't have a large use of cash. So if you can give us some sense on use of this capital, whether for a further expansion or anything, if you can use, some sense will be very helpful as a shareholder.
Yeah. As already stated, whatever expansions are going on in ferroalloys, in coal mining and other smaller projects, those are being funded from internal accruals. In addition to that, we are looking for the mining opportunities. So, mining iron ore mines and coal mines are being are coming for auction. So, there also we are looking for opportunities. In addition to that, we are evaluating various growth opportunities, including inorganic opportunities also. We are evaluating. And even organic growth also we are evaluating, but it will be very difficult to give any concrete plan on the growth or expansion because nothing has frozen. Multiple, we are evaluating multiple options, including a greenfield project, even a brownfield project. So depending upon the, how the things move, those funds will be utilized. Part of the funds, looking to the surplus availability of the fund without any specific plan, we have already utilized about 150 crores for buyback of the shares. So this is remaining we are planning for the growth opportunities.
Thanks. That's it from my side, sir. Thank you very much and all the best.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, to ask a question, you're requested to press star and one on your phone now. Please press star and one to ask a question. We have our next question from the line of Marshall, an individual investor. Please go ahead. Marshall? Mr. Marshall, please unmute your phone and go ahead with your question. We'll check his connection. Participants who wish to ask any further question are requested to press star and one. We have our next question from the line of Rajesh Bhandari, an individual investor. Mr. Bhandari, please go ahead.
Yeah, good afternoon, sir.
Haan ji, good afternoon.
Sir, ye abhi ferro alloys ki jo prices hain, with all the turmoil jaisa aap bata bhi rahe the, so are they more or less stable now? And what is the sell price normally apna average?
Manish Sarda ji.
More or less the prices have stabilized at the moment and around 74-75 levels we are seeing consolidated sales happening at those price levels.
Hmm.
For the 60-14 grade. 60-14
grade. Yeah, 60-14 grade.
For export. Yeah, for export, it's a higher.
For exports, it will be around 81,000, 82,000.
Okay. And अभी जैसा माहौल लग रहा है सर, तो export के लिए तो अभी जबरदस्त demand बढ़नी चाहिए, because the way people are putting down the ferroalloys plants.
As I said previously, it's a situation of flux right now. We have to just wait and watch what happens in the next 1.5-2 months. And with the war situation, actually, nobody anticipated that the war will go so long, but it is still pulling on. So we'll see how things move on in the next 2 months.
Aur abhi sir, apna capacity expansion jo hai, wo to ferroalloy ka hai, 35 MVA ka. और उसके अलावा माइंस वगैरह में है. नाउ फ्रॉम द रेवेन्यू पॉइंट ऑफ व्यू, ये तो अपना जितना इंटरनल माइंस वगैरह का एक्सपांशन होगा अपनी कॉस्ट सेविंग होगी, बट फ्रॉम द रेवेन्यू पॉइंट ऑफ व्यू अभी जो अपना है एक्सपांशन, उसमें और क्या क्या चीजें हैं सर?
सो वी आर एक्सपैंडिंग इन फेरोलॉयज ऑलमोस्ट बाय 50% इन साडा मेटल्स. We are
35 MVA का जो additional लग रहा है सर.
Correct. And
वही आप बोल रहे हैं सर?
जी. Apart from that,
is under Sarada Metal.
That's correct.
जी.
Apart from that, we are putting up one more 25 megawatt hydropower project.
अच्छा.
And two more after that is in pipeline. We are trying to get our environmental clearances for those two projects.
For the hydro?
For the hydro, again, around 25 megawatt each.
Okay.
Apart from that, we are waiting for our clearances to expand our Garepalma coal mine from 1.2 million to 1.8 million tons. Mm-hmm. And we are waiting for our environmental clearances and applying for forest clearances for our Shahpur coal mine.
Yeah.
Down coal mine.
Yeah.
So all these projects are in pipeline.
So ye apna abhi coal to apne ko bahar se kharidne ka zarurat padta nahi hai sir?
Nahi, zarurat padta hai, because kuch jagah bahut high grade ke coal ki requirement rehti hai plants mein.
Yeah.
तो उसके लिए खरीदना पड़ता है. हमारा जो वाइजैक का पावर प्लांट है, इट इज डिजाइंड ऑन इंडोनेशियन कोल बेसिस. तो सो वी आर यूटिलाइजिंग सम ऑफ आर कोल फ्रॉम आर कोल माइन फ्रॉम रायगढ़ टू दी वाइजैक स्मॉल प्लांट. तो वहां पे 100% यूटिलाइजेशन नहीं हो सकता है अपना. तो इसलिए बाहर से लेना पड़ता है.
और ये सर अभी Q2 में अपना हाइड्रो जो रेवेन्यू होगा, दैट विल बी हायर देन दिस Q1?
सर इट विल टोटली डिपेंड ऑन द रेन्स.
ओके.
सो आफ्टर Q2 विल कम टू नो.
जी जी. और ये सर कंसोलिडेटेड रेवेन्यूज में टोटल जो अपना इनकम लॉस वगैरह हुआ है,
हाँ जी,
ये अदर इनकम लॉस एंड अनएलोकेटेड लॉस एंड फॉरेन एक्सचेंज फ्लक्चुएशन लॉस, ये इसकी वजह से क्या, मतलब इतने लॉसेस क्यों हुए हैं सर, किस चीज के हैं ये?
नहीं, जो अपना अदर इनकम में लॉस आ रहा है वो तो अपने जो इन्वेस्टमेंट्स हैं, तो टेम्पररी जो फॉल आया था प्राइस में, दैट इज रिकवर्ड अगेन. वो तो
बेसिकली ये नोशनल लॉस है.
हाँ जी, नोशनल है ये, तो वापस रिकवर भी हो गया उसके बाद.
ओके. जी, अनअलोकेटेड 93 करोड़ का लॉस है सर वो?
नहीं, अनअलोकेटेड में तो जो वो रहते हैं लॉसेज नहीं होते सर, अनअलोकेटेड एक्सपेंसेस रहते हैं विच आर नॉट स्पेसिफिक टू एनी पर्टिकुलर प्रोजेक्ट.
ओके 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 ओके. और मालिक एक मेहरबानी करिए, अपना फ्लोट इतना कम है, शेयर को स्प्लिट करवाइए ना सर. ये आप एक रिक्वेस्ट ले लीजिए, प्लीज कंसिडर दैट, बिकॉज फ्लोट मार्केट में बहुत कम है सर.
नहीं, we'll think about it. The suggestion that you have given.
जी जी जी, वो देखिए. और ईमेल एड्रेस चाहिए सर कि अगर कोई क्वेश्चन हो तो हम क्या कहाँ पुटअप करें, सो दैट वी कैन गेट द आंसर.
सर अपने प्रेजेंटेशन के नीचे दिया हुआ भी है जो अपलोड किया अपन ने.
अच्छा, उसी में दे सकते हैं?
हाँ, उसमें दे सकते हैं, आप कोई भी आपके क्वेश्चन रहते हैं तो.
हाँ हाँ सर. अच्छा अच्छा, ठीक है सर. थैंक यू सर.
थैंक यू.
हाँ.
Thank you. Bye.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, to ask a question, you're requested to press star and one on your phone now. Reminder to participants to press star and one to ask a question. As there are no further questions, I would now like to hand the conference over to the management team for closing comments. Over to you.
Thank you. We thank all the investors who have joined the investor call organized by the company. We hope we have been able to address most of your questions. The presentation made and the discussions held in the conference will help the investors to evaluate the performance in a better way. Please feel free to reach out us if you have any further questions. The contact details are given at the end of the presentation, shared with the uploaded on the website of the company as well as exchanges. We look forward to connect you all again in the next phone call. Thank you. Thank you all.
Ladies and gentlemen, on behalf of Sada Energy and Minerals Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines.